So just on an earlier point, just I was just thinking of something regarding an earlier point. When we're talking about Midas HaDin and Midas HaRachamim, so, right, you heard that?
I heard the first part, but not.
Okay. So the Rosh was explaining that there's an idea of Midas HaDin and Midas HaRachamim, and that the world really can't exist under just din or just rachamim, because under just din, then anybody makes a mistake, anybody falls short of what they're supposed to be doing. They should be destroyed. So the world would be destroyed under din. It wouldn't last. And under rachamim, the world would continue. But it would not continue with its purpose, because without din, then anybody who there's no difference between the Rasha and the Tzaddik, and there's no correction, there's no limud to the Rasha or limud from the Rasha. So that was his. I don't know if you remember, a few weeks ago we were doing that point, and he says that the midah of Elokim is din. The Shem Avaya is Rachamim, and Kael is what we really exist under. The Mida he calls Kael. Kaili, Kaili. So we can't have pure Rachamim, can't have pure Din, so there must be some mixture of the two. But we tried to explain what that means. But the point is that there aren't midos, there's no differentiation and no competing interests in God, but it means to say, it represents a certain idea that that the world exists, that there's a good, there's a tov in the existence of the world, in the existence of the universe, as long as it is, but it's only when it's existing with its purpose. So, the kale, the mida in between, is an expression of that idea. It's not really different midos, it's really an expression of one idea, that the world, that there's a certain good in existence, like the Rambam says, Kadosh Baruch Hu is a bore, and he creates all kinds of existences, not just for man, just because you can't go beyond the purpose at a certain point, and you have to say that's just the will and the chachma of God, and existence itself is a good. But the idea of rachamim and din and the in between expresses that vis-a-vis man is really only existing when he is existing with a purpose. That's really the only good of his existence. So, but that we don't have the idea that if he doesn't exist with the purpose, he should be destroyed. That would be absolute din. We were trying to explain last time that din and racham are expressing two ideals. That there's an ideal of a good of existence, that would be absolute rachamim. But din is saying that by man, it really has to be only when he fulfills a purpose. But the mixture of the two is expressing that the existence of man is allowed to continue to exist, not just if he is actually existing in the proper way, but as long as he has the potential to continue to exist in the proper way. So that's the intermediate, that's what he calls the mixture, the meat of that's in between. But I was just thinking a couple weeks ago with the Parsha, so you have a few times in the Chumash that there's an idea that Hashem says he's going to send a malach, to be with Bnei Yisrael, or I can't be there. As a machlok, what those malachim are, but the point is, there's a certain idea of a certain level of hashgacha that Hashem says, if this were true, then it would destroy you, because if you wouldn't follow the word, you'd be destroyed. So I was just thinking that in terms of the Rashba's idea, it seems to imply like this, that it's an extension of that same idea. That with hashgacha, the idea of saying that the malach will be with you, but that would be dangerous, that could be a dangerous situation, is saying that with a certain degree of hashgacha, that the Malach represents, then you're existing really. That type of an existence itself is only also brings in a certain greater idea of din, because you're now being viewed in terms of an actuality. As you're meriting with the meriting of the Hashgacha, with the expression of the Hashgacha, now that's really being treated. Now the expression of the Hashgacha is together with existing in a certain, actually in a certain way of perfection. And that actuality of perfection, that relationship based on the actuality of perfection, will demand a greater midas ha-din. Because the din is in terms of the actuality of the perfection. All right, so we left off last week with the question of Leia. Oh, can you? We just wanted to finish up the last thing you said. That, I mean, where does it say? It says if you kovei makom the Torah for tefillah, so then Hashem Elokei Avraham Yehi Be'ezracha. But I think you're just saying that because you're on the level, you're expressing the ideas of Avraham, you're zochet to that type of hashgacha in terms of seeing, in terms of reaching perfection. I think he's just relating it to the mida of Avram, because he says Avram at the end. He says Avram was kovei makom. Okay. Anyway, so the question was, it says by Leia that before Leia came, nobody gave hodah. It says miyom shebar kosh baruch hu olamo lo ba adam shehodah la kosh baruch hu ad shebas Leia v'hodaso shnemar hapam odes Hashem. Yeah, so it says before, from the day that God created his world, a person did not come that gave hodah to the Kodesh Baruch Hu until Leah came and gave him hodah, because it says hapam odes Hashem, this time I praise God. Okay, so he was trying to explain this chazal. So just briefly, what does he say again? He said that the Imohos knew with Ruach HaKodesh that there would be 12 Shvatim and 4 mothers, right? And therefore they knew that Min HaRoi, each one should have 3. So when she had the 4th, then she gave Hoda. First 3, the names reflected certain qualities with her relationship with Yaakov. But the 4th one didn't have anything to do, it just said Hapam Odes Hashem. So he's saying that was at that moment when she had the 4th son, she gave Hodah. Because she saw V'rosa Oso Kimekabelas HaChesed HaGomer B'yosim in Aroi. She had the experience, the first time in human history that someone had the experience of getting more than is Roy. And he gives a funny mushel to a kohen who gets truma that he's supposed to get, and he doesn't thank the one who gives it to him, and then someone gives him a little extra, more than he needs to, and he gives him praise. So he says, "How come I gave you a lot, you didn't give me any thanks, and he gave you a little, and you gave him thanks?" He says, "No, because that was Roy, and this is not."
Is he saying that this is the first time in history that a person got more?
Ad she'omda Leia, lo kodma odom, she'ro'o midas tovo, ro'oi la'acher v'yinotel mimenu v'yinosein lo. So he said, before Leia, no one saw the mida of his goodness, midas tovo, that it was ro'oi la'acher, that it was proper to be for someone else, v'inotel mimenu v'inosin lo, and given to him, sheyitztorech lahodos olav, al tzad hamida hazu. This particular mida, he says, was not seen before. Shehu riboy hachesed, because hodo, he says, comes mitzad kabbalas riboy hachesed. Like it says in Tehillim, hodu l'Hashem ki tov ki li olam chasdo.
Wait, so yeah.
Go ahead.
It's not even regular. Like, chesed itself is going beyond the roi in a certain sense, but that's not enough to give hoda. Like, rivui chesed has to, you know?
Yeah, so what? So we had a couple of problems with this, right? First of all, what does it mean is roi? You mean roi and not roi. And many people had great, Avram had great chesed shown to him, Sarah, what's the significance of that it should have been someone else's and was given to him? That seems like an element that he's emphasizing here. Yeah. So you know what? Maybe we should back up one mimer. Because there's one right before this that's very similar that skipped over for some reason. It's like this. Amar b'yochlam shavishim ben yochai. Miyom shabar akash b'ocho salamo. Same format. Lo bo adam shekaro adon. Ache bo avram avinu v'karo adon. Okay. So he says, before Avram Avinu, nobody existed who called God Adon. Okay. Nobody existed who called God Adon. Yeah. And then he says, Amar Rav, Yaf Daniel lo nene, ela b'shvil Avram, shnemar v'ata shmar lokenu, el tfilas avdecha. He says, Leman cho ad nimi boile. Should have said before you. El Leman Avram shekorocho adni. So the pasuk is should have said Leman cho, but he says Leman, the one who called you Adon. Okay, so again, what does it mean? What does it mean of you that nobody called God Adon before Avram? So here he says an interesting pshat like this: as you know, I'll just paraphrase again, that in the days of Avram and before him, they would worship the spirits, and they would make statues, and they would follow the astrology. You know, they believed in all these different forces. And we know, like it says about Avram, that he destroyed all the statues of his father, right? And the Nimrod threw him into the Kibshon. So before Avram, everybody was worshiping the natural forces. They believed in certain forces, astrology especially. And Avram was the one who really changed that. He really fought that. And he says the people then were really going after the deus hamufsodim. They were going after these very defective ideas, and Avram really disproved them, and he taught them, and he was megayer them. He says Avram was megayer the men, and Sarah was megayer the women. Now he says like this. He says in truth there is such a phenomenon as what he calls the mazolos hashamayim. There is some phenomenon in nature that does obviously have an effect on a person's, you know, natural abilities, a person's physical health and well-being. And it is possible to say that given certain natural forces, a person will be a certain disposition or certain type of a situation, but there is some reality. That's what the Ran also. I mean, the Kuzari also. I think he has something. He says when these people were going after the mazolos, it wasn't a foolish thing. But what was foolish was to think that they really could figure it all out. But aside from that, he's saying that what was Avram? What did Avram teach the people? He says, for instance, Avram himself, the Chazal says about Avram that he wasn't, given his nature, he wasn't able to, ain't a roi laholid. And that's what the Medrash says, that Hashem took him out. Vayotze oso hachutza, habeitno hashamayimo. Right? You know the Rashi mentioned over there. He says, go out of your itzdagninus. You know, you're going to be removed from what the natural order would have determined for you. Okay? So in other words, Avraham eino molid, Avraham molid. So the Alkein Kara Avraham Lakarish Baruch Hu Adon. Shemitoch kach noda la anshe doro hachachamim b'chochmas ha'itzdagninos ki yesh Adon aleihem levatel kocham. So what does Adon mean? Adon means master. So he says from Avram, from the idea of Avram, from from what occurred to Avram again he focuses on the occurrence to Avram, that everybody apparently understood that Avram's, based on the natural order, natural law, he was not capable of having children. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're not determined by the itzdagninus. Itzdagninus is one level of that's one reality, that's a natural reality. But there's an idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is capable of altering that. That's like the Ramban says. We don't believe. It's not that. It's Tumim Tiyim Hashem Elokecha. Ramban says is that you shouldn't believe. Ramban was of the opinion that there is some reality to these types of things, but yet he says Tumim Tiyim Hashem Elokecha means we don't believe as Jews. We don't believe that we're fated by these things. The Ovdei Avazar believed they were fated. If the astrological sign says a certain thing, then that's your destiny, and it's impossible to overcome. Tomim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha means we don't look at these things because we know that this is not our fate. Our fate is really determined by our Schar V'Onesh. Schar V'Onesh is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not right to if a person looks into these things and becomes. He'll be over the Isser of Tumim, the Chiv of Tumim Tiyya, because it's like he's giving these things weight as an ultimate factor as an ultimate determinant in his good and in what happens to him. But we don't believe that. We believe in Schar V'Onesh, and that what happens to you is really goes according to your deeds. And you can exceed, you can break free from the system of itzdagninus. And he says that's what was shown from Avram, that it was noda shehu ha'odon ha'mashkiach v'hayocho. One second, it was known that God is the odon that's mashkiach, that watches and has the ability, and any power that there might be is subjugated to God's will. So therefore he says that's Adon. Adon means the ultimate master. It's true there might be other things, but they don't have, he says, Ein Ilus b'mishiyesh siva el yonis soseris kochov ilus. It's not, you don't, nothing has a power if there's another higher cause that can destroy that power. That's not really called a true power. So the only true koach, the only true Adon is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that says from Avram that was noda, that was made known, and Avram was the first one who called God Adon. Yeah, Ken?
Yeah, so...
But then he asks the question, he says, so but what about the other tzaddikim? What about Adam, Sheis, Mesushela, Chanoch, Noach, Shem? He says they were all tzaddikim gemurim. Right, he says, "Chalila mehem sheyu heim nimshacham achar hadeos haheim." Can't be. What does it mean that Avram was the first person to recognize this idea? And he's saying the idea was, what was the idea of Adon? To recognize that we're not under the power of these apparent forces, and there's really an Adon Hakol, Don Olam, that is over everything. So how could you say that before Avram nobody had this idea? What about Adam? I mean, he certainly recognized that. So he says that Efshar shakavona v'maimer zeh shelo kara lechemem inyan yadua. Right? Maybe nothing. Maybe it means nothing happened to them. A known thing. Sheyodea mimenu lebalei hachochma shebedorim hefech daitam. that something demonstrable occurred that could disprove to the other Chachmei Hador that believed in the other systems. She Keinyan Avram, she holded Kenegan Mazolo Hayadua Lohem. Everybody knew his mazol, and it was a demonstration. Gam Kihoya Avram Machriz Mafarsein Baolam Adnuso Umevilem Rayos Niglos Mimasha Hodia Adnuso. And also Avraham, so he says, and also he says that Avraham was the one who really went out and publicized this, and he brought Rayos and arguments. He's saying it was a very well known fact. So he was turned into someone who was able to have a child. Okay, and he says that was Avram's Vayikra Shem Shom Avram B'Shem Hashem. He was Makri, Vayakri. He taught people. So anyway, so what's he saying? No, he's saying that there's an idea of Adnos. What's the idea of Adnos? That's a certain idea of Adnos, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is, that the world is not just run on a certain in a certain natural order, but there's a Mashkiach Hayochol that can change that system for an individual in terms of his level. But how is he interpreting? What does it mean that Avram was the first one? All right, it's interesting. So he doesn't want to say that Avram, doesn't mean that Avram was the first one to recognize this, because he says, how could you say that Noah and Shem and Chanoch and Adam, how could you say they didn't recognize that? It's not possible. So what's his answer?
Demonstrated.
He gives two answers, right?
Demonstrated, and then that he did publicize it.
Right. That he was the first one, that there was what?
He made it extant in the world.
Through a mice that happened to him, and through his disseminating the and teaching the concept. Yeah. Right. What about Noah? That's a good question. What about the whole door of the marble? So he's saying they weren't.
It wasn't extant. He had it, but the Chachamim didn't learn a new idea. Whatever was left, they were dead.
But he's also saying that it was known about Avram that he was under a specific, fate via the system of the stars, and that it was overturned. And he says that's what it means by Daniel also. Why? What does it mean that Daniel was answered because of Avraham? It means to say that the Beis HaMikdash, the existence of the Shechina and the Beis HaMikdash, is in order that this idea should be known. That's the reason why it exists. Kishabayis omen al tikuno vuyisbarach shochem besocho yivoda ki yesh elokim biyisrael sholet b'chol ve'odon alkol. Okay. So anyway, just to get back to our discussion, let's put these two together. In other words, in terms of Avraham, so he definitely recognized a tremendous chesed. I mean, he definitely there was definitely a tremendous chesed that occurred to Avraham. He was tzemiyek stagnina shelo. I mean, he was under the system that he naturally shouldn't be able to have a child, and he was given hashgacha of being able to have a child. So that's definitely, I mean, you can't say that before Leah, no one saw this amida of Tov in terms of benefiting from hashgacha, in terms of recognizing the yicholus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, Avram clearly had that experience. So again, and he proved it and he showed it. What is this extra midah by Leah? So first, let's go back to the original question. What does it mean that it's roy? What does it mean that she saw that it's roy that they should each have three children? What do you mean roy? What does that mean that it's roy? So I think the idea is like this. Now, it's by Avraham. He was on a certain level that he was to be the father of the nation. It was from Avraham that's the only place that Klal Yisrael could come from Avraham Avinu. Okay, so it's true. It was a tremendous chesed to him that he should be able to have a child, because that's what he desired. He desired to be the progenitor of the Am. I mean, that's what his concern was. His concern was if his house overseer, if a domestic Eliezer is going to be the one who inherits his philosophy and is not going to be able to continue properly, right? So he had an idea of continuing the philosophy, continuing the correct ideas. And Akash Baruch Hu was masking with him that it's only really going to happen through him and Sarah, right? So it's true he was the recipient of a tremendous chesed, but it really had to be through him. It was either going to be through him, or it wasn't going to be a continuing nation of was Chusavos. Chusavos is really. We've fallen back on Chesavos many times, so it has to be part of the fabric of Klal Yisrael. But over here, by Leah, they knew that there would be Shvatim. Okay? And they understood that there would be four mothers. Okay? But it meant to say that was the general outline of the Hashgacha. A certain path of the Hashgacha, that Yaakov is going to be the father of the Shvatim, and it should be through, and there should be different groups. And therefore, given this idea of the Hashgacha, it's min haroy that it should be three each. In other words, min haroy here means that there's a certain general reality that the Hashgacha was laying down. That had to come from Yaakov, and they didn't know why, but it had to come from Yaakov, and there's a division of the Shvatim among the Imahos. What does it mean it's min haroy? It means they didn't look at it as their own particular merit. You understand? What does it mean it's min haroy? It's just a division problem. In a sense, yes. In a sense, that's how they looked at it. They said, Avraham, it had to be from Avraham. And for some reason, it has to come from the four of us. But In order for that to be accomplished, all that requires is the minastam, minaroy, the workings of the Hashgacha would be accomplished through an equal share of all of us. And that's all that they, that's what they understood. In other words, because the question is like this. If they thought it was from their own zechus, so how do they know how big each one's zechus is? I mean, what do you mean to say? That? What is the concept of min haroy when it comes to hashgacha? Isn't that like a contradiction in terms? Hashgacha means a particular relationship. And min haroy is like a general relationship. Right? So that's how they understood it. They understood it exactly that way. That there's a particular hashgacha that the Shvatim should be from one father, but there should be a division among the mothers. that's part of the idea. For some reason, that's part of the idea. So now their role is simply to accomplish the division. I mean, obviously, have the children, and the reason that there are more of them is to accomplish division. So that's just to give expression to a certain general concept of this hashgacha, that there should be shvatim composed from different groups within Yaakov's family. So min haroi means to say the basic way that that hashgacha would be accomplished would be for each of them to partake of it equally, because like Shlomo saying, that each one is really equal in terms of this basic point, in terms of this, in terms of fulfilling this hashgacha, and neither one of them has a right over the other one. You know what you say?
Like, there's nothing about that hashgacha plan that dictates any greater degree of particularity.
Right. So Leah, when she had the fourth son, she saw a totally different thing now. She saw a new Mida. She saw a new Mida. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, so to speak, altering the Roy, the natural plan, because of the concern for her particular situation. And that was a new concept, that there is the need, there are certain things that are necessary for the hashgacha to be fulfilled, and the hashgacha to be fulfilled here simply would have required three children each, but her extra had nothing to do with fulfilling the basic need of the hashgacha. It was simply because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was makir her particular situation, her pain and her suffering, and gave her a good that had nothing to do at all with what she was there for to begin with. That's a new idea that she was able to experience and give hodah for. That the dake dakos of how it works out also go down to also are a part of hashgacha. In other words, she was here now. See, like she was here now. She was here now. She was now the recipient of a very particular benefit that didn't have to do with the general hashgacha, but was simply because of her particular need. Because apparently Rachel didn't need that extra. I mean, with her position in the family, she didn't need that extra. But I think there's a so it wasn't really at the expense of somebody else, like Ken is saying. It wasn't like taken away from her, and it wasn't like punishing her to reward Leah. But it still was not min haroi. It still was an extra facet of hashgacha that that was not seen. Yeah, that's what he calls. Am I in the right spot? Yeah, that's what he calls. Ribuy HaChesed. Ribuy HaChesed. Good, yeah, Matt is another good example. He says, but Yitzhak was planned, it didn't have to be, it was at that particular time when the climate was amenable to that type of a thing. It was in terms of Yitzhak, because they take them out whenever they, in terms of Yitzhak itself, it doesn't need to be in Aviv. That's not part of the Yitzhak. That's part of Ribuy Chesed. Yeah.
I don't get the distinction between Avraham and the
Yeah, no, it was just to clarify. I was saying before Leah, all that was seen in the world was that there's a hashgacha in terms of fulfilling the plan of Kadosh Baruch Hu to bring about a recognition of his existence in B'nai Adam.
So Avram was an expression of that, and Yitzchak and Yaakov personally, and they, their personal hashgacha was in terms of establishing the Ummah. But by Leah, we saw, she saw a certain hashgacha just in terms of her own personal particular need. In terms of just executing the hashgacha, like the plan of the Ummah, of building the Ummah, all that the hashgacha needed to relate to her was Minaroi 3 to each. But she got an extra because of her own personal particular need. It didn't have anything to do with executing the hashgacha for the general Klai Yisrael.